Yes. For it?
I want to say I dropped $80 on this one.
All you do is say
bye. We want to get something back.
Yeah.
We're thinking about house is actually I'm convinced. We were thinking about getting a cherry box.
Yeah, we were.
Show you some tricks tonight.
Tour?
Yep. All right. I'm sorry. I'm horrible at names.
Steve and Allie.
Steve, Allie.
Hi,
nice to meet you guys.
You.
So it's the five of us tonight. January, like we'll get away from the music here in a second, but January, February, it's a little slower. Like normally there's a larger, much larger groups, especially during Halloween. Like I was jam-packed for Halloween for this. So let's go around away from the music and I'll tell you how this is going to go.
Perfect.
So you guys had a few drinks, had a good time?
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I started here. That's why the owner lets me start the tour here.
Huh?
That sounds like Bob Marley.
He does kind of like the reggae theme pretty much the whole time. So welcome to Stories in the Cemetery, guys. My name is Nicholas McGurry. You guys can call me Nick. That's fine. That's what everybody else calls me. Nicholas is just a formal name for my book covers. I am a local author here. I do have 7 books published. All of them are based on the afterlife. So they are all fiction. But in order for me to get closer to that, sorry, I give you kind of the gist of my story before we actually get into stuff. But the reason why this all started was I was working on a textbook style nonfiction book that was going to prove psychic ability. So it didn't go so well because I only had 7 locations up in Myrtle Beach, and then I started getting doors slammed in my face. So it was kind of like, all right, let's put this on hold. So new wife later, she says, hey, you got all these great stories in this file. What are you going to do with them? Why don't you put them up on a blog? I'm like, all right, cool. So that's exactly what I did. It took off. So I started getting literally hundreds of readers every week. Blew my mind. And she says, all right, that's doing well. Put it on a podcast. So I put it on a podcast. She designed a logo, called it Stories in a Cemetery. Charleston Cavalier Tours calls me up and says, I just listened to every episode of your podcast. It's amazing. How would you feel about coming to be a tour guide for me? I'm like, all right, cool. Let's chat. So then he figured out I have tools because I don't have the psychic anymore. To prove the psychic ability. So he said, let's turn it into an interactive ghost hunt, if you're cool with that. I'm like, absolutely. So that's what sets us apart. So how did you guys find me? I already heard how they found me.
It was all him, his
research.
I was
looking online and trying to find something decent to do.
Okay. So what set this apart, just out of curiosity?
Being interactive.
Okay. That's good. That's good, good, good. Yeah. This is about 6 months old. So we're still like getting all the feedback from customers and listening to the reviews and seeing what's working. And some things we actually had to change up just based on customer review. But I've yet to have anything less than a 5-star review, just so you guys know. This is an amazing tour. So tonight is going to go a little different than your normal ghost tours. Who here has been on a ghost tour before?
Nope.
A couple of you?
Walking tours.
Okay.
I've been inside a haunted place, but that's all.
All right. So going to be a little different. Obviously, I got the gadgets. I got the tools, right? So you guys are going to get these tools. We're going to do kind of like a teach and train for about 5 minutes to show you guys what these tools actually do. Do I have any skeptics in the group? I know you guys aren't. Skeptics? No? You guys have had paranormal activity around you before?
Yep.
Okay. So couple disclaimers. Some things that are going to come up tonight might be personal to you. Might not have anything to do with me or the spirit activity that we're going to talk about with the history of the locations that we're going to go to. They might be personal to you. You can tell them. You can make the experience your own, however you want to do it. You can text me later and say, hey, this word or this thing that happened, I remember why that actually happened. So it's happened before. I will also say if anybody here gets dizzy, feels disoriented, well, speak up. We need to stop. So at that point, it's happened. Actually, my last tour, somebody got disoriented at the very end. So it was kind of something just kind of hit them. I'm not going to say it's not happened to me ever before, but I've never had it happen to me on this tour. This is not a scary tour. This is basically a history tour with gadgets. So we're going to talk about some myths, legends, and things that actually happened throughout history. Questions, comments, concerns. Everybody have comfortable shoes? Because we do walk on some cobblestone, off brick stuff. You're going to be good in those?
Oh, yeah. These are flat.
All right, perfect. All right, so you guys are probably wondering what the gadgets are, right? You're like, hell yeah, bring them out. All right. So I normally hand this over to a skeptic only because it is my most active tool, and it kind of gives us the...
Yep.
So this will kind of give us the first indication that we have something near us. Okay, so this is what we call an EMF detector, electromagnetic fields. Mm-hmm. So we will not get excited when we're walking over the crosswalks in Charleston because our ley lines are underneath the ground. So all of your wiring is there. There'll be like little metal plates. I don't think I have any near us. If you're standing on it, this is pretty sensitive. So we will use this in a number of ways. First off, it'll tell us we have paranormal activity. Second, we can actually use this to ask questions with. So if we have this thing going erratic up to red, we can actually ask the spirit or paranormal activity or entity to actually step away from it to make it go to green, to kind of prove what's happening. I cannot guarantee we're going to get any activity tonight. Keep that in mind. This is off the cuff. I've yet to have a tour that didn't have activity in at least 1 to 5 locations or all of them. So we're going to, who wants to go with the EMF detector?
I'll put it.
Okay. So when that thing starts moving, you pretty much have to watch that thing through the entire tour. Keep your phone away from it because it will detect your phone. Remember, we do not want pulses or anything in a rhythmic pattern. We want it to go crazy. That will be determined that we actually have some activity. I use this for a ground reading. This is an infrared thermometer. Obviously, my batteries are going dead. We are at 53.9 degrees. But I use an ambient thermometer because what the infrared does is it measures what it's touching. Okay, so this guy will actually give us the temperature around the probe at the top. So if we have any cold spots, this will determine a curtain. We can actually move this in and out of a curtain to see if the temperature is going to go up or down. I've actually tested this. We actually do have a couple areas where we might get cold spots. We will debunk things. Just keep that in mind. If it's windy like it was yesterday, this is going to start to go down. And I'm going to say, sorry, it's wind. I'm not going to make things up for you guys. This is not Zach Bagans giving a ghost adventure story. So I'm not going to make things up for you guys at all. Okay, so if we have something, great. Let's debunk it first. If we can't, then we actually have some activity. Who wants to go with this guy?
Sure, why not?
All right. So that light will go out. There's a button on the bottom right. So you just shut it off and turn it right back on again. Very, very simple. So this guy kind of looks like the Neuralizer from Men in Black. Right? I'm not going to erase your memories at the end of the tour, I promise. This is actually a grid pen.
Well, I've seen that work before. Like, ghosts, you see the world through it.
Exactly. So, do you have your vape on you?
I do.
Go ahead and blow some smoke right underneath where my hand is. It's okay that it goes on my sleeve. You guys see those green streaks?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. It's not going to be that steady, but what we will get out of this is a very quick in and out. Spirits, once they realize that they can be seen with this thing, they move in and out of it pretty quickly. We can wave this around in graveyards. There's a couple of areas. These are lasers. These will deter... My batteries look like they're going to go a little haywire tonight. Funny thing is I tested everything before I do any tour. So if it's going dead, it's not a good sign.
There could be spirits around too.
True. Which is going to drain batteries.
Yeah.
So again, when we're on busy streets, this guy needs to stay in somebody's pocket. So I'm actually going to hand this to you because you've been pretty quiet and responsible.
Okay. I don't want to hold anything if I don't have to.
Okay. You don't have to. That's
fine. I do some mediumship stuff, and I can feel stuff with my hands, so if I can avoid holding stuff, that would be
by all means. Who's going with the grid pen?
I can hold two. Why not?
Yep. There's more stuff, so there's might as well. So you do mediumship.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So what attracted you to this tour? Was it the fact that it was interactive, or do you want to see if I'm actually legit?
No, it's because I loved
it.
Yeah, he was trying to book a date for us, and there's lots of people that'll, like, drive by haunted places, but if we're going to do it, like, you know, I might as well be there, and, like, you know, I would want to be able to feel things, and, like, see if I can hear anything, and, like, I want to be, like, there, you know, there's no point in, like, you know, doing the carriage tours where you're driving by, like, that building is allegedly haunted, like, you know, that doesn't do anything for me, but if I can be there, it's always fun to listen in and see what people say.
If you want to go to a haunted building, go to Asylum in Columbia.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. You'll have to hop a fence and watch out for security.
I'm not above that.
No, I'm serious. It's worth it.
So, I have here a spirit box. So how this guy works is it'll sweep through the radio stations, as you can see. And if we're real silent, then we can actually hear it clicking through the different stations. Very hard for a voice or anything to come through. Now, I am a true believer in that any kind of paranormal activity will actually manipulate this and work as Bumblebee and Transformers. They'll use the DJ or a song lyric to tell us something. We have had disembodied voices on this, on my tours. And we've also had plenty of activity from whatever the DJ or the singer is.
Had a spirit say, get out from it?
No, we're not that cliched here.
Oh, okay.
So you wanted this, go ahead and leave it running, that's perfectly fine. And I will say, you're going to have to hold it to your ear. Like when we're pretty active with the other gadgets, that's when you really want to start listening. So I'm trying to think what else I have in here. So, the other piece, I am recording this entire thing right now. This little pocket right here is for EVPs. So this works twofold. I will listen to this tomorrow morning, this entire tour, and listen for any kind of EVPs that were hanging around with us that we couldn't catch. Have I caught anything yet through EVPs? Not necessarily. Some things I couldn't really debunk or make out, or it was just a glitch in the system. I have had batteries drain from this thing pretty quickly, but this also acts as a souvenir for y'all. I actually post this to a website that you guys will get a card to at the end, and you are free to download it at your leisure. It stays on that website. I will not put anybody's last names. It will have today's date, the time, which is 9 p.m. of this tour, and then the two people, because there's two groups here, of who booked it. That's the first names only, so that way you guys can find it and tag it easily. So it's yours to do what you will. Okay? Is that fair? All right. So I've already started the recording before we even met up, so I will edit out the beginning of me walking up, and you guys will have from where we started. So, questions, comments, concerns? We have more. So what I will be doing throughout the night, as I'm telling you guys really cool history and hopefully some stuff that's actually happening, I use an EMF on my phone just as a backup. So what's nice about this particular EMF detector is it'll tell me at the bottom what it detects. So if it's a computer, TV, mobile, or it'll say high EMF or dangerous EMF. On this tour, it'll usually go up to high to dangerous. So that's not really going to affect us if we're not there for a very long period of time. Okay, so there's one tool that I keep open. Another one that I'll keep open in the event. I haven't caught anything with this yet. It's pretty new. But if everybody takes a look at my camera there, I will turn it into a thermal imaging. Is it a true thermal imaging? No, it's not. But in the event we have darkened areas and we see something misting across the blue where it is pitch black, then we should be able to detect that. I also have a screen recorder. So in the event we have something that's active, I can record it and then I can send it to you guys on via cell phone, text, however you want it. I'm not going to post it on my website unless, of course, it is super active and I can actually say this is what happened on this tour. So that will stay at our leisure as well. Last but not least, this particular app will stay open on my screen through the entire tour. This is a spirit box through my phone. It is meant to be a game and a hoax. I will also tell you that this particular gadget has given me more evidence than anything else. 80% of it, I'll be honest with you, it's bullshit. I have to feed through it to figure out which words match up. We get a lot of activity through this throughout the tour. It is meant to be a game and a hoax. So it's just going to start spitting out random words. If this was sitting on my coffee table at home, it would give me a word maybe every 5 to 8 minutes. On this tour, we probably get one every minute to 3 minutes because of the activity that we're at. Because any spiritual or paranormal activity can actually influence this. The nice thing is when I hit this, I'm not going to hit it now because it's going to give me 1,000 words, but it saves the list for me. So when I'm listening to your audio, I will stop a story. And if you guys say, hey, it just said the word Olivia, I will stop and say, it said Olivia at this time to kind of timestamp it with this. So when I'm analyzing your data through the audio, I'm doing the research. You guys are helping me out. It helps my blog and podcast make it more interesting. So you're probably wondering why we started here at Kane Rum Bar. First off, you all got to have a few drinks, except for you guys. But but this place is actually haunted. Did you have any kind of feeling whatsoever when you were inside?
I didn't actually.
Where were you sitting?
We were like this seat, kind of like in the middle between the door.
Okay. Two ghosts allegedly haunt this place. And I have had EMF detection inside that front window on that table there. I got an EMF at the top, not at the bottom, and then it disappeared when I brought it back to the top again, which means something was there at some point in time. Now, anything that blips on that EMF, which where is it? Why is it not out? There we go. I'm going to keep you working, man. You got to have it visual all the time. That's our main thing. But when it is, did you stop the sweep?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like you stopped the sweep. We're jamming now. So this button right below the dot, if you hold that down for a second, it'll start sweeping again. I was wondering why we had so much music.
I like that music. Hold this one down.
The one just below the dot, second one in. Below the light. No, one up. There you go.
With the dot.
Yep, you hold it to get it to sweep again in case it stops. But otherwise, you could just let it be. Oh, look at that. I got the word between. See how that's going to pop up for us?
Mm-hmm.
And this is using AM/FM stations. I don't know which one it's using at this point. I know I have that one set to FM. So it's using that as a stronger signal. But anyway, the ghost here. So this place used to be called Big John's. I'm sorry, where are you guys from?
Well, originally from all over the place. Not from here. We just moved here in August.
Oh, you just moved here?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're locals at this point.
Yeah,
you're transplants, but you're locals.
Yeah.
I'm a transplant. It's okay. We're all transplants. You find somebody from Charleston here, shake their hand. Because you're never going to meet another one. But anyway, Big John's. This place he was named Big John's after a football player. Don't ask me which, what team he played for, or anything like that. I'm not a sports guy, but he was a big, big thing here in Charleston. And he used to come here in the 70s and sit at the back of the bar and kind of nod off to the bartender when the cadets used to come in after their training and nod off to the bartender if they were of age or not. So he'd be like, nope, don't give them a drink. They're underage. So one night, two cadets come in and they actually steal the front cash register from the front of the bar. Big John pulls out his 45, takes a shot, and takes one out. So it is said that that person that he killed actually still haunts the bar, and the bullet hole is still underneath the renovations that Kane Rumbar did. So the disorientation is where that comes into play. So people say when they sit at the front of the bar, they get a little dizzy, and it's not from drinking because they just got there, you know, near the bullet hole. The EMF detection that I had was in front of the bar. I did walk through the whole bar and got nothing except for that one table at one particular time. That was it. Second one, we had a big earthquake here in 1886. This was where the first death happened. So a piece of the mantling on the front of the building, so this big mantle that runs all the way across, piece of it fell from the earthquake, struck somebody. Nobody knows who he is. I've done the research. I can't find him either. But the story goes, this is where the first death happened from 1886. So it could have been that person that was hanging around. I got the name Mark, or Mark as a verb, either way. Guess it depends on how we look at it. So my job is to actually put these clues together based on where we're at. So if this would have came up with John, or the word big or huge or something along those lines, it would have been like somebody's talking about Big John, or Big John is actually here with us. But we have no EMF detection, so most of these words are probably BS. So, guys, good with Kane's Rumbar, because we're not getting any activity here. I've been watching the gadgets. Yeah. Nothing going on. Let's move this way. I know I talk a lot, but that's why I have this job.
I was the in-between person. I knew popular kids and I knew little kids.
So, Crew Cafe, the house right there with the sign that says Crew, that is a cafe, and the upstairs are the offices. That place is haunted by a suicide. I cannot find the title and the deeds to it because it used to be a slave home that was expanded. And the EMF detections that I got from it are in the upstairs bathroom. They've invited me in to do a full investigation with all my gadgets and to hopefully capture the history of it so that they have a great story to tell. The other piece of history from here is there's a stop sign at the next intersection. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary War. Ship comes in, shoots a cannon. Cannonball lands right at that stop sign, that exact location. However, I don't have any tragedies or deaths that occurred from that, so therefore I get no paranormal activity. I've been there several times. With EMF and walking around during the daytime. Just a piece of Charleston history for you. But we're actually going to walk into this parking lot and see what is happening with your EMF. Because this particular area, this is the funny thing about this spot. I don't have a story. But sometimes my EMF detector will start at the end of the street. Sometimes it won't start until we're back there. Are you feeling anything?
Yeah, the air feels like my hands are asleep here.
So you got the tingles.
Yeah, like over here, too. And I would say maybe a little more in this parking lot.
Okay. Do you have any kind of name?
No.
Because we actually had two names come out of this. Actually, I take that back. We had one name come up twice. The other night. My son, I got Road. See how quick the words are coming through? This is a good place for you to listen to that. Who's got the grid pen? This is a good spot for the grid pen, too. I have had some glimmers come out of it from time to time. So, Red Barn, this is where they keep all the horses for the carriage rides. This barn has been here for so long. This is where they kept the horses that delivered milk to Charleston. So, that tells you the age of where we're at. So, we're talking like early 1800s, 1820s, somewhere in that bracket. Now, there's no ley lines underneath us. It's a parking lot. There's sewer line right where we're standing. I've already looked at the maps and all of that to look it up. Because once I start getting activity here, I'm like, oh, there's got to be a story. I can't find a story. So this is one of those locations, like, I'm glad she's here. I want to know what she's coming up with.
Yeah. Probably it just depends. I don't channel on these sorts of things because I don't want to mess with things that I don't want to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just see, like, what wants to talk, and that's not always very much. So don't, like, expectation management.
Well, that's why I use the gadgets that I have. I don't have any abilities. I can usually sense something when it's coming about, but I have channeled in the past using spirit boards and black mirrors and dabbled with things I shouldn't have.
Yeah, you want to be careful. You don't want to fuck with things that don't need to be messed with.
Understood. And I usually don't. I've learned some pretty hard lessons that way.
Yeah, they'll follow you back. You don't
want
to do that.
So, what are we getting out of the spirit box? Anything?
I mean, I did have, like, a voice come through, like, multiple different sweeps and stuff.
Okay. Did it say any specific words you can think of?
I couldn't make out what it said.
So I had the name Olivia pop up here twice. The night before. To give you the gist of the tool that I use, this spirit box on my phone, that garbage can over there, somebody challenged me that the EMF was being influenced by that electrical box on the wire, on the pole there. So I took them over there with the EMF, and I leaned on the garbage can, and I got the word waste. And then I got the word cube.
Really?
So
what are you doing?
It's a cube, and it's for trash. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So that was a very clear, very clear. I got the word foundation. So another tool that I have that actually worked for us last time we were here. Let me find it. I don't use it often because it's a little creepy and some people get weirded out by it. But it works, and I've had some really great activity from it.
Have you ever had a J name here?
I'd have to go through the list, to be honest with you. So what this guy does is it takes the radio signal and it reverses it. So it's playing it backwards. But we can ask it questions to where if we hear a very clear audible, it'll make complete sense. We can ask it direct questions. Get the volume up. So, because I had Olivia here before, I'm going to ask about Olivia. Olivia, are you with us here again tonight, like you were the other night? When we get a word out of this, it's crystal. Olivia, I have some new folks here tonight. Can you say hello? What did you hear?
I heard hello through the spirit box. I swear to God.
Okay. That's good. Hello, Olivia. Is that you? Give us a clear yes. Olivia, can you say yes that you're here? Yeah, it's not coming through with anything. Like I said, when I get activity out of this, it's very, very clear. So the first time I use this, because I always test everything first, see if it's going to be any kind of legitimacy. Dead? I had this playing through my car speakers, because I was testing it in my car. So, of course, I'm asking it questions while I'm in the car, and I said, can you say hello to me? My name is Nick. And I got a very clear, hi, Nick. Like, immediately after. I mean, crystal clear woman's voice. I'm like, okay. Started getting some chats. I got a hello, a yes, those kind of things. I ask for simple words to prove that they're here. Right, I'm going to switch back to the spirit box because sometimes that's easier for communication. Again, I don't have an actual historical tour here besides the history of the building over on this side. Turn that down because it does get annoying to listen to static all night. All I need is the words. I know it's working.
I heard the name Jared a few times.
Jared?
Yeah, but the thing is like spirits aren't always tied to a location. So like you don't know who they are, like if they're transiting through.
Right.
Anyway, there you go.
See how that's not exactly a pattern? That's exactly what we're looking for. So the fact that it's pretty erratic, I can't make out a pattern out of it. It jumps to red from time to time. Of course, my phone was just near it, so it's gonna give a pattern. It says for me. So the fact that we're not getting reds, we can maybe ask if it can get closer to make it go to red.
It's got red a couple of times.
Again, but when we ask for it and it does it, that's when things get exciting. Yep.
Have y'all watched the Annabelle movie? The second one?
That one's good.
Are you getting anything out of the spirit box? Because if not, we can move on. Because I don't feel like whoever was with me the other night is going to communicate as much. I got hopefully. And I can text this list for y'all, too, if you want it. Mm-hmm. I did that for my last guest because it was like five screenshots long. And they were like, wow, that's awesome. We're actually going to head up this way.
All of them?
The second one's pretty good, and the other ones are good. The numbs are like
the word own. So we are standing on the Pinckney Mansion site. And it's gonna go nuts in here. This is my most active spot. So if I were to have a finale, this should be it, but it's not. This is my most active and one of my best stories, just because this is where one of our founding fathers lived. So this was Thomas Pinckney's home. And he was married to Eliza Lucas Pinckney. And with Eliza, well, they had a son, Thomas Coatsworth Pinckney. So both Thomases signed our Constitution. They lived right here. But Eliza saved Charleston, and you guys might be interested to know this because you live here now. I'm sure you guys have seen some rice plantations, mm-hmm. And those kind of things. Rice plantations started to die off, so Charleston needed something to save it. So Eliza is actually from England, and her father started sending her plants because she was a botanist from England, and she discovered indigo crops, which give us blue dye. So when she did that, she started to harvest it and get it ready so that we can start selling it as a whole. Now, mind you, blue dye from... That's funny, and that's personal to me. Because my mother just texted me, who I haven't talked to in a while. So she's trying to call. But at the same token, Eliza Pinckney was also the businesswoman that started selling the blue dye overseas and saved Charleston with the crops. So what you're standing on right now, this would have been the slave houses back here. In line here was part of her garden where the indigo was grown, and then the mansion was in the front and was one of the most updated mansions, different from all of the others that were in town during that time. Now, the northern side of this parking lot, I usually get the words bone, body, bury, something along those lines that indicates that something is buried underneath there, which sucks because they are about to put a commercial hotel here in the next year or two. And they are not going to do an archaeological dig for any kind of artifacts from the Pinckney Mansion or the slave homes. They're just going to build on top of it, and that's going to be the end of it. Which is going to suck for me, because I got to find a new hotspot for my tours.
So, what I've heard is when somebody, like, destroys buildings or something, it makes them go mad.
A lot of architecture, when they're working things and they're renovating, it will stir things up, because you're messing with wood and things of nature. So when you do that, spirits do get attached to nature-type things like wood, furniture, any of those things. So when you're tearing things down or building things up and ruining the land of what they knew before, it's messing with the balance that they're on, if that makes any kind of sense. So am I correct in saying that?
It depends. It just depends how they're connected to the landscape.
Exactly.
The earth feels warm here, though. I agree. There's something like...
Yeah,
you got the temperature gauge, so yeah. let's find... Go ahead and turn it back on again.
The way I feel, like, everyone feels, like, sensation differently.
You're probably feeling energy.
Yeah, so, like you could feel the same energy in a cold signature, and it would just be that relevant for you. Like, point it down. Like, it's like the earth, like, sort of rainy sit here. But, like, it's not relevant to this particular spot. It was, like, when we walked up, you can
okay.
Sort of, like...
Yeah, I keep eyeing it. There's been no change. We've been sitting at 52 since the other parking lot.
Okay. Again, cold spots are not usually common for me on the tours. I have had some, but
this
they're not...
This is a warm spot. That's yeah. A little different.
Yeah.
Cold spot means there's, like, a spirit present. For me, like, everyone feels things differently. For me, cold means the spirit is here. Warm is, like, there's, like, an energetic signature that is present. And that can be different.
That's very well put. I like it. So feel free to explore. Grid pen. Ask that thing questions as you're walking around. So if you get, like, we're in a hot spot right now with the red, we can actually ask her to go Watch the cars. This is a parking lot.
Although that would create a great haunted hotspot.
Right? I do get some pretty good activity out of the spirit box here. That thing will go ballistic. I have tested the conduit along those walls. It's dead. I've tested it during the daytime and nighttime. The wiring in there is not functional at this point. And a lot of times, normally, the light on the back of that restaurant will flicker.
You're dead.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay. No. They are dead.
Right. I thought it was kind of funny you were talking about selling blue dye. And
it came up with sell.
Sell came up on
yep.
there.
So there's a light to the right of that light that's above the doorway there.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's not functional at all. Sometimes it's flickering and sometimes it's on full. It just depends. And a lot of times when it's flickering, the EMF, if you hold it up, you can see that they're in the same sync. Like they are patterned together. I've got it on video. It's ridiculous.
Huh.
I got the word dresser. So we were just talking about wood and furniture.
This got heaven.
Got what?
Heaven.
Heaven?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good one.
With us. You want with a pen?
Yeah.
Oh, I just got a name.
What was the name?
John.
John?
I also heard animals can detect ghosts, like better than humans.
I got basement and heat. Allie, you okay?
Yeah, no, it's just, like the sensation is different from here to there. Like this does feel like more of a presence, like a female presence perhaps. But it's not distinct, it's like residual.
And that's, I think, one of the things that we find here. This used to be, is it working at all? We probably need some new batteries in there. Because it's normally, like, super bright. Got the word wheelchair. Can you hold my phone while I try to swap out some batteries? Let me see what I can do.
I was trying to see if I could... See if I can point it at you.
Don't point it at me.
No, I want to see if anyone's around me.
Again, I test everything before every tour.
Trust me, I don't know.
Well, that's why I bring extra batteries, because I expect them to be drained.
I also heard animals can detect ghosts.
Well, that's another thing we could talk about, because I do, like, one of my books is about a spirit animal that took his owner to the afterlife.
Like, in the Conjuring movie, the dog wouldn't go inside the house.
Well, that happens in real life.
No. My house is great about it. Like, we can follow the same thing across the room. Yes.
They have a different connection to nature than we do.
Yeah, my cat will stand guard for me. Like, especially, like, new moons are really rich with activity. And my little black cat will stand guard.
That's got people.
Mm-hmm.
That's got the word people.
I got bored.
See how bright it is now?
Yep.
There you go. Good thing my wife wants the best buy. We get him in bulk.
Alright, I'll take that back.
Thank you. Alright.
But I'm not sure. I think sometimes.
I got the word shift. So the trick with that grid pen is to really keep it as still as possible.
Yeah. I'm trying to get near her, but she keeps running away.
I don't...
They're attracted to you, woman.
I know they are, but I don't want to.
So, Eliza was a kind spirit. We have nothing to fear here.
Oh, I'm not afraid of anything, friend. Like, I've seen it all. It would have to be something.
And I visit this location so much. Like, she's probably used to me here by now.
Yeah, they do. They do get
anything else on that spirit box?
At light.
Light?
Charleston Harbor.
Well, that's a lot to say.
Same voice, different sweeps.
Okay. Oh, we're not gonna go down to the harbor. Haste. Make haste. We also had the word forward, so it's almost like make haste, move forward. So I'm gonna just take a quick path over here and see if I get any of that other basement. Isolate. I just moved away from the group. I isolated myself. So Eliza, if you're here with us, let us know. Give us another word that's a little stronger than isolate. We got the spirit box going. You can talk to us through that. We have the EMF. Okay, hold that as still as you can. Eliza, can you make this device go to red, the one I'm pointing to? Let us know you're here. We're cool with it. We know we're in your old stomping grounds. Isaiah.
I just got bound here.
What did you get?
I just got like something said dramatic. Does that mean something dramatic's about to happen?
Could be that this house was filled with drama because it did have a lot of visitors. Eliza, or whoever's here, can you make this device go to red to prove that you're here?
I don't think she's going to.
Yeah. I'm not getting a very good vibe here tonight.
I gently connected with her, and she feels very, like, kind and gentle. I don't...
Okay, we go. This is red.
I think sometimes when her presence is, like, really radiant, she might get that sort of thing.
I will tell you, during the week, like Monday through Thursday, this is pretty active. It's the weekends when people are out bustling about. It's Friday night, which is busy in Charleston.
Yeah, she's, the female presence here feels very gentle.
We're gonna head this way. So, your devices are gonna go crazy because we're gonna walk a main street. We're gonna go down a few blocks to our next location. So really, even the words that I get coming through on the spirit box are gonna be irrelevant. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's hauntings along the way, but they're not to any of the particular points that I stop at.
If anything, I'm a skeptic of electronic devices, so this will be interesting for me.
So
I look forward to hearing some of this stuff.
So one of the places that we go to is Philadelphia Alley, okay, where I tell the story of the whistling doctor. And it deals with a duel. And as I'm telling that story, I've had words like alley come up. I've had the word doctrine. I've had the word medicine as I'm talking about the doctor. So just the fact that we can get those manipulations. So
sure.
The free version of this actually has 1,900 words in it. I purchased the upgraded version and it has 9,000 words in it because I didn't want to mistake mouse for house, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that thing's going to go crazy. And if it'll give us phrases as well, which it does. Excuse us, folks.
Sometimes it's like feelings and sensations, like the universal.
For most people, they need technology.
You'd be surprised.
They need the proof because they don't believe in what they're feeling.
I think if you give in, your internal mechanisms for sensory sort of take over.
And don't get me wrong, I am a true believer in all of that. But in order for this job to maintain and be versatile to all kinds of folks,
I get it.
It is.
Was the time that Bobby told her that he was living in the
groups like this, I still turn around even though I got, you know, like I might have 10 to 20 people.
Do you tend to get invited to smaller groups or bigger groups?
Small during the week. So if I get like a couple, that's it. It's completely active. It's almost a guarantee that every place I go to will be fully active.
I bet. Yeah.
I think they're just kind of
letting. When there's too much energy going on and too many different types of energy, like what we have in this group, I'll be honest with you, I'm not expecting a ton of activity tonight. I hate to be brutally honest like that, but again, I don't want to make anything up for y'all because I'm not that guy. I'm not a street performer.
Yeah.
So is that what you do for a living? Okay. Very cool. So that's probably what brought you here, huh?
Yeah. But I'm an intel analyst, so like intuition is sort of still a component of my job, so okay. It's actually kind of the best combination of intellect and intuition.
Fair enough. So I left a career of 22 years in retail management, six-figure salaries to do this, so I can finally be happy and write and do book signings and take people on ghost tours and write about it.
No, for sure. This is my retirement goal. I'm just going to go to the right
here. Watch your step down here, guys. Watch your step, so bricks are a little off. So apparently, somebody told me that the bricks in the center are ley lined this way because this is the exact latitude line of Charleston. So, but I just got the word somewhat come through the app.
I think that's warming up. Well, we don't have to worry about the wind in here.
No, we don't. So this is Lodge Inn Alley, and the actual inn is right next to us. It does have a couple of hauntings. We don't go near it because it's not really susceptible to this, and it's just claims that certain rooms are haunted. But this makes like great ambiance for the tour, for one, and then this is where I talk about some of the psychic abilities that I've dealt with. Not with me personally, but when I was working with the psychics. So we'll stop here. I'd like to at least get past like their break area. There's usually somebody outside smoking. But this is like a great alley. I do get some words that come up from time to time. We will get things through the spirit box if you want to listen in. But just to kind of give you a gist of what I've done outside of doing these tours and what kind of started it with the psychic, that's as high as it goes.
That is?
That's it. It can have like a ball speaker, but my first tour, somebody broke it. So... working with this psychic, won't name him off the top, but in Little River, there's a restaurant called the Brentwood. It's a French cuisine restaurant. And the gist of the book was, is I would pick him up, tell him how long we were going to be gone and how to dress based on if we were going to be indoors or outdoors. So we told him we were going to be gone about 5 hours. I'd already contacted the restaurant's owner's wife, and she said, sure, come on in before we open. You guys can do your investigation. And I'll give you the history after. I was like, as long as you don't tell us what's going on beforehand or what's happening during the investigation. She's like, fine. So we get there, and Carl did automatic writing. So as we're on our way there, he would start with his arm just going in different motions, and we're still having our conversation. So a couple things that came up on that were the initials EM. Fish is okay for breakfast. And I feel lucky. So as we're pulling into the restaurant, you have to cut through an alley, and the alley was called Luck Street. So he was already on target. We get inside, and the owner and his wife meet us, and I shake hands, and he looks at the owner, who is the chef of the restaurant, and says, you have the same initials as the person who owned this place previously, and there was only one owner. He said, can I ask what your name is? His name was Eric Masson. He's French. French cuisine restaurant. So the wife starts laughing, and I says, well, you can reveal that, because now we're all in the know what's happening. And she's like, the previous owner, her name was Essie McCorsley. So there's our EM twice, and the fact that he was able to tag the fact that he had the same initials as the previous owner. The fish is okay for breakfast. Essie McCorsley used to take in boarders. It's on the river. She used to take in a lot of sailors, and she would cook what they would bring in. What are sailors bringing in? Fish. So fish was okay for breakfast. He wrote that about an hour before we even got to the place. So there was a ton of other things that dealt with dates and numbers and all kinds of things. Like, that was a crazy investigation, but we were able to prove everything that he was actually able to go through. That's actually really cool that it ventured off that far. Just be careful. Those are residences at the end. We will get in trouble. Up there on the right, so just kind of stay there, clear of the windows. Like, somebody lives there. That's a house. Just so you guys know, when we cut through here, residential areas are off limits for tour guides. So we are going to be five friends ghost hunting. We're not going to be on a tour because I will get fined. Got the word Adam, yes. I don't know what that means. The fact that it's a phrase, that's very odd, especially with a name attached to it. But I have actually had some kind of channeling with Fort Fremont in Beaufort, South Carolina. That was without the psychic involved. We had just started using these tools. My daughter's 13 years old. She's now into this. She's usually on tour on the weekends. But anyway, we get down to Fort Fremont, and we start walking in, and I get these weird migraines from time to time. They're called suicide headaches because you can time them. And I hadn't had one in months. Started getting one on the way in. Got to the point where I actually had to sit on the ground. My emotional support animal was going crazy because my blood pressure's all over. And my daughter's walking around with this app running. And in the midst of it, all mixed in, she gets the words rock, creek, and raid. So I'm like, all right, I got a list of words I'm going through when I start researching it after I get home and healthy again. And rock, creek, and raid all tied in to the same sentence written in a letter from Harriet Tubman to Colonel Montgomery. She led a raid from Fort Fremont over, there was a specific creek, to get to a rock city in North Carolina. I don't remember where it was, but it's all along the border. I have the map of it up on my blog. But it was all in one specific sentence. I was like, oh, I haven't read about Harriet Tubman since I was like in fourth grade. So I started looking into Harriet Tubman. Turns out she used to get headaches on the left side of her head because she got hit in the head during a riot when she was like 4 years old with a rock or a bottle or whatever. I don't know the exact semantics of it, but it was kind of like I had this channel with Harriet Tubman at Fort Fremont and didn't even realize it until I started researching. It was crazy. I have had other channels with Ouija boards. We won't get into all of that, but just crazy stories. There's hauntings all over South Carolina. Got the word pond. Interesting. And there's probably words I'm missing because I talk too damn much. You guys can feel free to interrupt, too. As you can see, like, there's certain rooms in here that have had apparitions. Anybody need a flashlight so they can see? Ghost?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Ghost.
So we're going to run into some other tours, and I would tell you that the other tour guides do not like me very much because of the content of you guys having gadgets and how we do this. And I am also unlicensed, so that is a big debacle in Charleston right now. So there's a court appeal that's supposed to go through, I think, in March to figure out if we're going to make it right. To figure out if you have to have a license to do this. So the fact that I know all this history and the myths, lore, and legends, that's kind of what Charleston Cavalier Tours is about. All of our guys are unlicensed, but they all have specialty niches and markets that we work in. So excuse us, folks.
Sure.
So in the event that the appeal goes the opposite way, I will go get my license. I do have the textbook. I have read it. I have confidence that I will pass the test on the first try. I have no fears of tests. I have many college degrees. Tests do not scare me. Again, we are in... What is it?
Drag.
Drag?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, again, what I do is anything that comes out of these boxes and the gadgets, I kind of analyze against the areas that we're at, and if I get something like drag... and we're getting pretty close to, that's Cumberland, I can look that up because I have the audio that tells me where I'm at. Plus, I've done this tour enough times that I can usually tell where I'm at based on the length of the tour and where we are in it, time-wise. So we're actually going to make a left and go down this way.
Yeah.
So this is what I was talking about, where that EMF is probably going to go nuts if you get too close to it. I've had them go crazy when people were standing on them, and it's way up here.
What?
So this is Philadelphia Alley. We're gonna come back to this. I just want you guys to kind of take note of where it is, because we're gonna go around the corner, but there's a cool little thing you can see about it from around the corner. And I usually time it right. Usually that place is packed, because that's every other ghost tour's like big finale, because the Whistling Doctor story is so long. I kind of give it to you guys in like 3 minutes. So it's not, like, to me, it's not my big finale. I have had activity down there, but not to the tune of it's just a big giant ghost story. And not to downplay it, I mean, it's a cool story, I love it, but I think the Pinckney Mansion site has a much cooler story when you have a leading female for Charleston. So right here we have Bocce's Restaurant, which is now closed. They closed, from my understanding, because there was too much paranormal activity happening on the second and third floors. The last tour I had, somebody took pictures of the building and was actually able to capture something in the second to the right on the second floor. We don't know what it is. I have my wife analyzing it now. She's in photography. She does all my book covers and all of that. So she actually has it in her files to look into further. So don't know what's going on with it. I don't know who owns it. I can't find it. Sometimes people stay private and very corporate. So you have to dig around and find out who owns it to see if you can get inside to do a full investigation. But it is super cool. The stories are basically that the furniture just moves around up there. So. A lifetime. So, you guys see the building with the crosses on it and the red steeple, like the red triangular? That is the oldest building in Charleston. That is the Powder Magazine. I just did an investigation on that last week or the week before. I have no hauntings for that place, and they say that it is the most haunted building in the Charleston area. I call BS.
I've gotten some good combos over there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was in the Air Force before I was in the Coast Guard, and like they like talked to me like a soldier to soldier kind of thing. It was really cool. I had a really good combo over there during a ghost tour.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I promised my listeners, my podcast listeners, that I would take people by it from time to time. Do you guys want to swing by it real quick before
yes.
we talk about the graveyard?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go take a walk.
So it's the second window?
That's what we have.
Because both of those two, when like Reiki practitioners see energy, it like I don't know how to describe what it looks like. It looks like not like TV static, but like when your vision is blurred or something.
It's almost like a dotted painting.
Yeah, like it looks like when you have a migraine and like shit's like kind of spotted with like colors and stuff. And that window and that window have like some really cool like sort of spotted colors, and you may or may not be able to photograph it, but I would, especially if when you come here during weekdays when things are calmer, I would definitely take some good pictures of those.
Well, let's just I love where you're going, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I get that often. With that dotted, like, you can almost see somebody's aura with that.
It's good that that you have migraines, because that's what, like, energy looks like, is, like, when your vision is blurred.
Unfortunately, this does not zoom.
It's okay. It's probably stronger on like a really innocuous Thursday night, like when nobody's out.
I like where you're going with that.
I just thought it was interesting.
And I haven't done the investigation there yet, obviously, because I can't get inside.
Yeah, but I'm sure you could probably, if you hung out here on a sort of a slow evening and just listened, I bet you would get some really
cool
signatures.
I like it a lot. All right, we are headed to Powder.
Everything okay, good? Or is that your brake?
That might be your brake. That's a really shitty brake if that was his brake.
I thought mine was bad.
See, you guys are getting a little bonus tonight, because I normally don't come down here, because all the other tour guides love to swarm this place.
Looks like they just leave.
Yeah. See, all these people are hearing stuff and they're not getting to see anything. And they probably paid double what y'all paid.
I would too.
So, I mean, I have mad respect for the building. I do. I got no vibe when I was here. And of course, I was here during open hours. So. Probably a great place for the grid pen. Yep. Keep that going for a second. I want to try to get a good picture with that going. So, Allie, talk to us. What are you getting?
Oh, so even before I knew, like, where I was heading, I got, at least during the last one, because now, like, I sort of, like, know who's here.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was walking up, it just felt, like, it resonated in a way that's hard to describe, because it just felt like soldiers. Like, they just loved their shitty existence, and, like, they're, I don't know. Like, yeah, like, they just, like, loved the suck, and they just, like, sort of, like, embraced. And that sort of feels like the energetic repetition of the location is kind of that like soldier mentality that.
So when I was here, I got one word out of this box. I didn't have the spirit box on it because the place was open, and I don't like to disrupt people. I got nothing on EMF, but with this, the only word that came up, and I was here a good 45 minutes to an hour, the word writing came up. So I actually bought the book that was written. I think his last name was Snell. Read it cover to cover, and there's a whole big pirate thing around this, the Powder magazine, and I'm not buying it because there's no relation. It's just said that Anne Bonny is seen all over town and common here. Now, they used to do ghost hunting here, like what we're doing, but they would do it in one location, and it was a thing. Of course, it's not a thing anymore.
What was this Powder magazine before it was a Powder magazine?
It was always a Powder magazine.
And who owned it prior to...
It was built to be a Powder magazine.
But who owned this property beforehand?
Well, but at least what it feels like to me is it's like a multiple presence. Like it's not like one voice, it's like a resounding.
In relation to the church, where you're at in Charleston, this is not military ground.
No, but
this was owned by somebody prior to, like, it may have been a Powder magazine, but it was not a military Powder magazine. Prior to being a military Powder magazine.
So,
it's still been a problem.
Anyway, that's what feels like is latched onto it. It's like a multiple presence. It's not like one person.
And this thing has served through 9 different wars. 9.
Yeah.
In and out. Not full service. It might have come in at the end. The interesting thing about this building, though, is the roof is actually filled with sand, mm-hmm. and the walls are 35 inches thick. The sand that's in the roof is original. They had to do a repair on the back side of it and found the sand underneath and left it alone. So,
where'd they import the sand from?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, we're near beaches.
I'm assuming any of the nearby beaches, but I mean, think about your pirate activity in the area. Think about where the sand came from. There's a multitude of different things that could lead to different connections.
But the fact that this area, as far as the age of the building, and I had no activity at all, said something to me.
Yes. Yeah, well, I feel like when Truth would reach out on, like, a device, it's like when something, like, needs to be said. And sometimes that's not, like, the residual energy that's left. Like, they don't... It might not need to communicate. Like, it might not have something to say, you know? Like, so sometimes it just takes, like, a sensation, I think.
Understood. But I was pretty comfortable while I was in there. I mean, I've been into Powder Magazine several times. I now have a season pass, so I can come in and out and do further. And, you know, it's not like I did it for an hour and I'm done. You know, it's I'm going to come back and see if there anything else pops up. But now that I know the history of it, and I want to say it was positioned here purposely next to the church so it would kind of hide away from any kind of attack. So, and I just think it's funny that they have the pillory going on over there because this was never used as a jail or any kind of punishment area.
Yeah.
So, and those are fresh and new. Like, those aren't, like, original anything. Like, the wood is freshly cut.
Yeah, that's a new 2x4.
Right. But, again, it's a great place to be in, and it speaks volumes about our history.
Yeah, it's not about it. It's not about you.
But it had these,
We could probably cut through this lot because we were headed over towards by the church anyway. Let me know if you get anything on that EMF cutting through here. I don't think I've ever been in here.
No, nothing really.
I mean, it's still blipping. Yeah. I mean, anything that pops up, I have to look into. So, a couple stories. We'll get them started just because now that we're... Not that I'm pushing you guys along. I don't care about doing a 2-hour tour versus 90 minutes. It doesn't bother me, especially if we're getting activity or somebody has a gut feeling. The cemetery end on the west side actually has a goes through it. I don't want to take you guys jumping walls. We'll cut through this way. Oh, she's got flats on. I'm trying to be respectful. I got insanity.
We're all trying
to jump over the wall.
Those and heels would be different.
So. Yeah, I'm sure. 1888, woman died. Her name was Susan Howard Hardy, 10 days after her stillborn child. 1988, exactly 100 years later, you can see where the myth, lore, and legend comes into play with this.
This is where we spot, yeah.
So have you guys seen the photo?
This is a good one.
No, I haven't seen the photo, but we've got other things in the
background.
I don't know if I'm going to ask her to come through.
Well, here's the thing about the photo.
A little intense last time.
So there was a photographer that was here in 1988. Caught an apparition of a woman wearing a shawl, and there was a baby basket sitting next to her over that particular grave. Now, this side of the cemetery I haven't been in because it's been being renovated for months now. This is a good place for the grid pen. I've never caught anything here, but this sign that says the only ghost in St. Philip's is the Holy Ghost is because of that exact story. The photo was sent over to Kodak. Kodak could not debunk the photo. This was back in 1988. There was no Photoshop. There's no cell phones. None of that. Same token. That photo is online. What?
Yeah, blood.
Okay, interesting. But the picture, it is said that if a woman holds it, like on a mobile device or something, that she's going to feel ill. If she is pregnant, then the pregnancy will not go well. I do not put those kind of superstitions on my tours. So I do not pass it around on my phone. So, interesting spot.
I want to see it.
Well, and you can pull out your phone and just Google Susan Howard Hardy, and you'll have it on your audio, so you can look at it there, too. So.
It wasn't this part that we were in last time.
There's another portion.
We were standing right here.
It was,
No, we were standing. The other ones.
It was the other lady was on the other side.
Yeah, the other lady was on the other side.
And then this lady was, like, in the back.
Yeah.
Yes, Susan Howard Hardy is actually in the back right. I just haven't been able to get to her yet. A couple other stories that actually latch on to the church. Dock Street Theater is 2 blocks up, but 1 block away we have the Pirate House. The Pirate House is where pirates will come in. They have a place to stay. They get a few drinks. And there's said to be a tunnel that led from the Pirate House over to Dock Street Theater where Blackbeard hid his treasure. However, that is a big giant lie and myth. There's nowhere that it says that Blackbeard ever set foot on Charleston soil, that he would stay on the docks and keep track of the ships. But the pirate house is also known to be haunted. Somebody does live there now, and he gets very angry when ghost hunters come by, so we do not go near the pirate house. Dock Street Theater has two ghosts. That basically, Junius Booth is the first one. He was the father of John Wilkes Booth, who shot Lincoln in a theater. But Junius is said to be seen in period dress in like the old style, like 1700s type play costume at times. The other ghost deals with the church, which is another reason why we stop here. So the history of Dock Street Theater is very simple. It was a theater, then it was a hotel that held prostitutes, and then it was a theater that we know now called Dock Street Theater, even though it's on Queen Street. So the gist of it was, during the time that it was a hotel, there was a young lady that worked. Oh, we were talking about the changes, transformation.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good spot. Like,
it's a great spot. I don't normally get a ton of activity here, believe it. It's just a great storytelling place.
Yeah, like, you have to sort of, like, you have to, like, want to connect in this place. Yeah, like, I'm going to limit it on this side because, like,
over there.
The lady was really intense last time, and I can, like, I can hear her weeping, but I'm not going to connect with that energy because...
Do we need to move?
No, it's okay. I can turn it off and on. It's
okay.
Fine.
Where was that? Oh, the St. Philip story. So a young lady was working here at the church. She was past the marrying age. She was 25 years old. Marrying age average was about 17 during that time. So she actually put on her best red dress and got a job as a prostitute down at Plantation Hotel. However, she was still unhappy, even though she was the most wanted woman in the whole place, and she used to go out to the second story balcony and just kind of look off to the stars. One night, a priest from the church comes down to try to convince her to come back. Storm rolls in. Lightning strikes the wrought iron banister that she's leaning on and strikes her dead. The funny thing about this story is that her apparition is said to be seen from the knees up. The reason for that is because when the Planters Hotel transformed to a Dock Street Theater that we know now, the first floor ceiling was raised. So she is only seen from the knees up because she's walking on the original floor. There's my word alley again, because that's where we're heading next. Love this thing. So, but again, her apparition is seen, and we didn't know about that. Somebody had to research, why can I only see her from the knees up? So, it's because she was walking on the original floor. The word lost. So, we are very close, obviously, to Philadelphia Alley that I told you guys to pay attention to. So, when we walk down here on the right, look through the posts, and you'll see an opening in the wall back there, because that used to be called Dueler's Alley, which is the story of the Whistling Doctor is all about a duel. The loser of the duel would go straight through the gate and into his grave. Because he was going to die, obviously. There was no coroner, no doctor, no anything. Boom, duel's over. Drop the guy in his grave. Let's go have a pint. Like, that was the mentality back then. But the gate is still there. It's not the original gate, but the opening is still there in the original wall, which is super cool to me. So I never get any activity off of it. It's just one of those things that's like, wow, that's really cool. That'll add to my ghost stories. So let's take a walk down this way. You got anything else, boss?
Nothing?
Hey, it's just this weirdly quiet over here. So there's the opening, and that's all the original brick from when the alley was built.
There's like a place that we're going to visit that has like a demon in it?
We passed it already.
Alright.
That was the Red Barn parking lot. Wasn't necessarily a demon, I just don't get good vibes from it. And sometimes I'll get like some really nasty things coming through the spirit boxes, so I just move the group along. So any event that I start getting like kill you, death, murder, blood, guts, whatever it was coming through the spirit box, I just move it along. Like, let's get out of here. We're not messing with this tonight. This is supposed to be fun. So that goes through here.
Go inside, buddy. Go inside. All by yourself. Going first.
I've never seen that name before.
What's it?
Eliana? Anybody know the root of this name? I've never heard that name before.
No.
Eliana?
Eliana.
Well, we can ask if it's
something. Excuse us.
I wonder if it's related to the salon. Because we were just talking about
it. If it's what?
Oh, what?
I don't know. Sit up this way.
I tell you, buddy, if you want to see things, it's a little bit of salon. Yeah.
That's why you have a flashlight. Well, go do it today. Or is it going up? Yeah.
So I just got the word bride, which is part of the ghost, the Whistling Doctor story. Ooh. So, and we already had the word alley come through, so that's super cool. That's new. Somebody's spray painting down there. So, this original alley was known, it was called Cow Alley, because this is where they keep the livestock. Then it got turned into Dueler's Alley, because obviously the duels used to happen here. And when that became illegal, we needed to name it after somebody that used to help us after one of our fires. So we named it Philadelphia Alley, which is what we know it now as today. Story comes from when it was actually Dueler's Alley. I'll give you a quick skinny on the big finale of all the other ghost stories. Doctor comes to town because his fiancée's lawyer will not allow him to marry her because she inherited a bunch of money from her deceased parents. He thinks she's just after the money. He says, go start your practice somewhere else and we'll talk. So he moves to Charleston. Coachman drops him off and says, you can go get a good place to sleep right here, get a good bite to eat. However, it was in a place where he probably would have been mugged and killed. Passerby, here is the coachman, says, nope, I'm going to take you somewhere else. He says, furthermore, and we had the word bride. I don't know if you guys caught that on the way in. So I just talked about how he couldn't marry his fiance. So somebody walks by, his name was Ralph Isaacs, says, nope, you don't want to stay there, let me take you somewhere else. And takes him over to 59 Church Street, which is about half a mile from here. And the two become friends. One night they're actually at a play together. The doctor's doing really well. He's known as the Whistling Doctor because he's very jovial. Everybody knows who he is. And that's just who he is. So they're at this play, they walk home together, and they get in an argument about one of the actresses. The doctor loved her, Ralph Isaacs hated her. Well, it turned into an argument about the doctor's fiance back home. The two get pissed off at each other and go their separate ways. They get so angry with each other that Ralph writes something in the paper about what a disgrace the doctor is to the city of Charleston, even though he's very well known and liked. So, the doctor's rebuttal, let's duel out in Dueler's Alley. So they take their 20 paces, the doctor turns, shoots his gun in the air. Doesn't want to kill his friend, just making a point. However, Ralph Isaacs turns, takes two shots below the knees of the doctor. His friends pick him up, they carry him home, he dies 10 days later. It is said, through this alley, because it is very quiet, even though we're one block away from East Bay Street, one of our busiest streets, you can barely hear anything here. So it is said that you can hear the whistle of the doctor and or the gunshot. And we're talking like musket gunshots here. We're not talking gunshots that we know today. So I usually listen to the audio very closely when we're in this alley. That way I can catch it. My first visit here, did I hear whistling? Yes, but I debunked it with some birds nearby that I could not see because I just couldn't place it. I haven't caught any whistling yet. I do get weird noises from here to time, from time to time. It's soldiers. This could be from where we were at the powder. I mean, follow this along. The EMF will go crazy near the footlight player's door back there, so don't get excited. They do have a lot of equipment in there. That's the actors that work over at Dock Street Theater. I showed you the gate, so take a look at that when we walk through. The other cool thing about this alley, and this is just another fun Charleston fact, it's not even fun. The bricks, they actually get older. Some of these were replaced like back in the 80s and 90s, but they get older as we move along. And those bricks at the end were sun-dried bricks by slave children, and their fingerprints and handprints are still in them. Just as they're in Drayton Hall, this alley, and there's another hall that they're in too. In one of them, you can actually see a full handprint. So there is residences at the end of this alley, so we have to be very sneaky Pete when we're going through. And that person at the end of this alley actually thinks that the handprints and fingerprints are a myth. I'm like, how is it a myth when they're right there in front of you? There's a handprint on the ground, and you can see the shape of the bricks as they get older, that the corners are more rounded, the edges aren't as sharp. You can see, like, these are newer bricks. They're still 30, 40 years old, but you can see the 100-year-old bricks down at the end. So this is everybody else's ghost tour big finale, because they make the big bang out of the, you know, scare people and stuff. I don't do that. I'm listening for the whistles. I'm listening for the gunshots. I got the number 3. I don't think I've ever had a number come up as a digit. That's interesting. We've had a lot of firsts on this tour. And guys, I apologize. This is not a circle tour, so we are not going to end up where we started. We will have to walk back. I've tried to make this, like patterning it, you know, to make it a good 90-minute long tour. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to jump back and forth with where I'm allowed to go.
I think they're still serving mojitos when we get back.
He will be, no worries.
Yeah, someone's using it here. Like, I get a lot of, tense energy here. I guess there's, like, a middle-aged male that comes through back there.
I'd say that the doctor at the time probably would have been in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, I was, like, middle-aged doctor male.
I don't know that we have a picture of this guy. His name is Joseph Brown Ladd. And even the house where he lives, 59 Church Street, has a plaque with his name in it.
It could be anyone, even if it's like that profile.
Correct. Well, you gotta remember, there was hundreds of duels here. That's
sure.
Just, you know, the only ghost story.